Let's pray.
Lord, we do thank you for your word. It's your word to our hearts, and we pray that as we just look at this passage, that Lord, that you bless it to our hearts, that you reveal yourself to us, and Lord, that you give understanding to our minds and touch our hearts, that we might rejoice in your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning, we are here to witness and to encourage Xing as she is baptized. We're here to celebrate with Xing as she publicly demonstrates through baptism her new life in Jesus. That's what baptism is all about. Xing is following the command of Jesus to be baptized, and by doing so, she is publicly declaring her faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, we all know people who light up a room when they enter it. They possess some personality qualities that make them compelling and attractive to be in their company. I'm sure you know people like this. They have, as we would say in Ireland, they have the gift of the gab. They have kissed the Blarney Stone. And in some cases, these individuals have actually swallowed it. But we enjoy their company. We really do. They are easy to get along with. And, you know, you never tire of their company. And they are never, ever short of conversation. They've always got something to say. They light up the room. But, you know, we all don't fit into this personality trait. We're not all like this. Some people are, as we say, gregarious. Others are quiet, conservative, and reserved. Some individuals, they find it difficult to express their faith in God. And that's true for a lot of people. Some people have a very quiet personality, and it's difficult to observe actually what they believe at all. They are not very demonstrative, you might say, in their faith, and they tend not to speak openly about what they actually believe in. And they are the very opposite to the person who lights up the room with our presence, just by being there. Now, we are all told that we are meant to be the light of this world. And, you know, light is visible in the darkness, even from a great distance. If you're really in a very dark place and somebody puts on a light, just even the phone on your light, the light on your phone, it's amazing. You'll see it from a huge, huge distance away. We see the stars at night. Why? Because the sky is black when the sun goes down. We are like stars shining in a dark world. We behave and we act differently from those who are not believers. And we ought to live in such a way that people see the difference in our behavior and in our lifestyle. But, you know, whatever our type of personality, whether we are outgoing or whether we are reserved, our faith in Jesus should be observable. People should see it. And it should be radiant to those of our family and friends who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Now, sometimes the change in our beliefs and understanding is not perceptible. It's not seen that very well in our life. Baptism demonstrates to everyone that we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, and we want to follow him. Baptism is an outward demonstration of a change that has happened in our heart and in our mind. It's something that's happened actually on the inside. We cannot see the change in our heart. We cannot see the change in our thoughts or indeed our attitudes. Baptism is a visible expression of an inward change. Baptism is a sign that a major change has happened to us on the inside. And we want to declare it to everyone. We want to demonstrate it publicly. Now, baptism is sometimes referred to as one of the sacraments. Now, the other sacrament is the Lord's table, which we just celebrated and which we celebrate in South Hill every Sunday. Now, there is a lot of debate and discussion around what is a sacrament and how many sacraments there are. Now, I'm not going to I'm not proposing to get into a debate and discussion on this topic this morning, but I'm introducing the word sacrament for a purpose. Just how do we define a sacrament? Well, just in its very basic form, a sacrament is defined as an experience of something that is sacred. Something that is, you might say, uncommon, unusual. Something with a special meaning or significance attached to it. It's a specific rite or an ordinance observed by the church, which has been given to us directly by Jesus. He specifically told us, right, and to remember him in the breaking of bread, and he told us to be baptized. And this is why they are sometimes referred to as sacraments, because they are commands directly from Jesus, and they have a very special meaning. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people celebrated the Passover once a year. The purpose of this was to remind the people that God delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. God, through Moses, rescued them and delivered them into freedom and into a new land. Now, the important thing to remember is who delivered them from Egypt. It was God who delivered them. And the Passover event was a means of reminding them that their freedom was entirely due to the fact that God had delivered them. And in a similar way, bread and wine we share is to remind us that Jesus' broken body and he shed his blood for us. Now, Passover is not a sacrament, but it's a sacred event remembering the Jewish people of God's mercy and of God's deliverance from slavery. The bread and wine are given to us by Jesus to remind us of his death on the cross. The emblems that we partake of each Sunday, of bread and wine, are a sign to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. What is baptism? And what is its significance? Well, it's an outward sign. It's an indication and it's a declaration that something has happened to us. Now, one of the ways the church has used to demonstrate a change in a person's life is through what we call sacraments. But the crucial thing to remember is that the sacrament does not bring about a change in a person's life. It's meant to signify or to point to the change that has already happened to that person. And this is critical to understanding what the breaking of bread and baptism is actually all about. Baptism, it's a sign. Baptism does not change us. Baptism is an outward sign to everyone of the work of grace within us. And this understanding is most important because some denominations put the emphasis on the sacrament. In other words, they put the emphasis on the sign, right? And as far as they're concerned, the sign then becomes the most important thing, the most important event. And these denominations suggest that baptism washes away our sin and gives us admission into the church. This is not true. This is not New Testament teaching. Baptism is a sign of God's forgiveness. And in a moment, what I want to do is I want to go into what baptism signifies. But just first, let me give you an illustration. You may or may not be familiar with this. But at the bottom of South Hill Park, if you are driving your car on the way home after church, when you get to the bottom of South Hill Park, at the junction of Buddhistown Avenue, and you look directly across the road, you will see a sign. You probably didn't see this before. You probably never noticed the sign before, but there is a sign there. It's one of these finger signs, and on the sign, it points to South Hill Evangelical Church. It's pointing in our direction, right? Now, the sign is not the object. The sign is not the church. right? It's not, the sign is not the most important thing. The sign is there to help us find the church, right? The sign points in this direction to where the building is, right? Now, what would happen if you came to the end of South Hill Park, this little cul-de-sac here outside, and there was no building? There was no church building. There was nothing here. What would you say about the sign? You would say, well, that's ridiculous. That's of absolutely no value whatsoever. That just doesn't make sense. That is just not helpful at all. It's pointing to something, but there's nothing there. It points to nothing. And in the same way, baptism is a sign. It's a sign of a person's new relationship with God. Baptism is not the all-important thing. Our new relationship with God is the most significant event. So don't confuse the sacrament, which is the sign, with the real event that has actually happened already in a person's life. Zing has been baptized this morning, but the real event of her conversion happened some time back, and she's going to tell us about that in a few moments. Some denominations put the emphasis then on the sacrament, not on the event that it signifies. Baptism, it does not save us. Baptism is a very important event in the life of a believer. And I'm not trying to undermine it or degrade it in any way. It is a sign of our spiritual regeneration. It is a sign that we've been made spiritually alive by the very power of the Holy Spirit. We have been regenerated. We have been born again. And that is the most important event that will ever happen in a person's life. And it's the most important event that's happened in Singh's life. Putting our faith in Jesus is the most significant event that has happened and that will happen in our life. So, what is the significance of baptism? What does baptism point to? What is it a sign of? Right? Now, what I want to do is I want to mention four things that baptism signifies to us. And some of these we read about in the passage that we've read from Romans chapter 6. Firstly, baptism is a sign of entering into a new relationship with God. In the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant with Israel was circumcision. It was a sign that the people of Israel were set apart from other nations to serve God. They entered into a new relationship with God. Circumcision was the sign of that new relationship. In the New Testament, baptism is a sign of us entering into a new relationship with God. Baptism is significant because it's the sign of our spiritual regeneration. Regeneration is the work of God by which the Holy Spirit changes our heart of stone and quickens us and changes our heart into hearts of flesh, and he gives us spiritual life. Regeneration, or as the Bible puts it, being born again, is the work of the Holy Spirit upon our heart. Change happens on the inside, and its effect then generates a new way of life and a new relationship with God. Now, we were once rebellious and hostile with God. As Ephesians puts it, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We followed the ways of this world. We were separated from God because of our sin. But now, as a new believer, we have a different relationship with God. We were spiritually dead, but now we are made spiritually alive in Jesus. And if you are a believer, you know exactly what I'm talking about and what I actually mean. You have had an encounter with God. You are very aware of the fact that God has changed your life. You're very aware of the fact that God is real to you. Once he was not, because you were afar off. But when you become a believer, you are conscious of the very fact that God is now real. God is now in your life. It is. And it becomes obvious, not just it's obvious to yourself, but it becomes obvious to others as well. Once we had no time for God, but now we want to know more about God. And we want to give him our life. And we can see this in things like. Now, it may have occurred to you to ask this question. Do we baptize babies? Now, we do not baptize babies or young children. So it begs the question, well, why do we not do this? Baptism is a sign. It's not the main event, you might say. Baptism is pointing us to something that has already taken place in our life. We enter into a new relationship with God because we realize that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. We ask Jesus into our life, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. But what baptism is doing is that it is demonstrating to others this very fact. It is a public demonstration of what has happened on the inside so that others can see. And we are declaring publicly our faith and our trust in Jesus. Now, salvation involves a deliberate decision on our part. It's a conscious, deliberate act of the will. The person is saying, I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to follow Jesus. I want to know God. A baby cannot understand what is happening when water is sprinkled over its head. A decision for baptism must be made freely by the individual themselves. Remember Philip, and we looked at this passage some weeks ago. Philip, the evangelist, he was witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And we are told in the account in Acts, they came to some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my baptism? And it's clear from the text that the Ethiopian understood the meaning of Jesus dying for him on the cross. He was reading Isaiah 53. Now he wanted to demonstrate this fact by being baptized. He wanted to declare publicly his faith in Jesus. He wanted to demonstrate his personal faith in Jesus. Now, the second sign. Baptism is a sign of a new relationship. First of all, baptism is a sign of a new relationship. And secondly, it's a sign of cleansing. Well, this is an easy one to understand. This sign is easy for us to understand because water is the means by which we wash ourselves. We wash our clothes. We wash anything else that's dirty. Water washes things clean, right? Anything that's dirty, it washes. We use water to wash with. And baptism signifies our cleansing from sin. Now, we all enter the world with a sinful nature. Now, the psalmist declares, he said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Psalm 51 verse 5. And we see the sinful and rebellious nature at work in a child from an early stage in their life. We don't have to teach our children how to do wrong. In fact, it's the opposite. We actually have to teach our children how to do right. Why do we not have to teach them how to do wrong? Because they know it already. Why do they know it already? Because it's part of the nature that we inherit. We have the nature of Adam, right? And when children get a little older, they commit sins, which are sins are the actions of a sinful nature. And all of us have sinned. All of us need cleansing from our sins. And when we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us our sins and repent of our actions, Jesus does exactly that. He forgives us, cleanses us from all unrighteous acts. And this event happens when we come to Jesus and receive Jesus into our heart and into our life. Baptism does not wash away our sin. Now we sing a hymn, and I'm sure many of you know this hymn. It says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Exactly. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, he made an atonement for our sins. His death, right, and the shedding of his blood paid the price for our sin. We cannot wash away our sin with water. Without the shedding of blood, and again, quoting Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Baptism is a sign of cleansing. Baptism is an outward sign that we have been cleansed of our sin because we have asked Jesus to forgive us. Now, some denominations put the emphasis on the sacrament as a means of cleansing. They say that baptism washes away our sins. Some denominations call this original sin, and they say that baptism washes away original sin. But this is not the understanding and emphasis that the Bible portrays. It's true, it's very true, that we are born with a sinful nature. Every single one of us are born with a sinful nature. And the sinful acts that we commit is the very evidence of the fact that we have a sinful nature. But baptism does not forgive us our sins. We must ask Jesus to forgive us our sins. We need to be careful that we do not overemphasize the command of baptism. Sacraments are intended to be signposts, like the signpost at the bottom of South Hill Avenue, pointing to something else. They point to an event. Baptism is not the means of cleansing, but it is certainly the sign that our sins have been washed away. Now the third point is baptism is a sign of our regeneration, of entering into a new relationship with God. Secondly, it's a sign that we are forgiven and cleansed from our sin. And thirdly, it's a sign of death to our old self. Now in Romans 6, which we read just a few moments ago, we are told that we died to sin. But in what sense have we died to sin? What disturbs us, and I'm sure it disturbs you, what disturbs probably most people, is the fact that although we now hate sin, we still have a tendency to yield to its sinful thoughts and behaviours. We do come into this world with a sinful nature, with a tendency to sin, and as we grow up, we commit acts and thoughts of sin. You see, we have inherited Adam's nature through our natural birth, but through our rebirth, right, our regeneration, we are now united with Christ. Baptism is the image of us dying to our old nature. It's a demonstration that although the old nature has left us, has not left us, right, we are now under a new authority. We are now under a new management, you might say. So instead of being in Adam and under the influence of a dominant, fallen nature, we are now in Christ under his influence. And that's very important. And we do have to remind ourselves of this every day. When we baptize Zing, we will submerge her momentarily, excuse me, under the water and then raise her up again. Excuse me. Baptism, it's a graphic sign of our new union with Christ. Going under the water is a graphic image of death. We are declaring that we are no longer under the influence of our fallen nature, that is the nature that we have in Adam. The verses that we've read says, we are buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ is raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. That's the image. So if going under the water signifies death, right, then coming up out of the water signifies new life, a resurrection, so to speak, from the dead. We are a new person. Baptism signifies our participation in the suffering and death of Jesus, but it's also an image of the resurrection and the exaltation of Jesus when he arose from the dead. Baptism means that we now identify with Jesus in his death, but also we identify with Jesus in his resurrection. We are signifying that we have died to our old self, but we are reborn with a new life in Jesus. Now you'll see there's a lot of water here in the baptistry. And unlike other church denominations, we don't use a small amount of water to sprinkle it over the head of the person. We believe in what is called baptism by full immersion. So why do we use this? Why do we use this method of baptism? Well, I think it should be obvious. Baptism is a visible sign that we are declaring that we are finished with our former way of living. We started off by singing that lovely hymn. It says, "All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this." Compared to what? Knowing you, knowing Jesus, you see. That's the difference. It is. We died to sin and we died to our former way of life. And now we are declaring that we are living a new life in Jesus. We have died to the old self and we are put on the new life there is in Christ Jesus. Baptism by full immersion of the person is a sign of death to our old way of life. After all, if you stayed under the water for more than a couple of minutes, you'd die. This image is not conveyed to us when a baby or an adult is sprinkled with a few drops of water. Whereas the person being raised out of the water clearly signifies being raised from the dead into a new life with Jesus. Baptism is a sign to everyone present that we are determined to follow Jesus. Our old way of life has gone and we are now living a new life in Jesus. Baptism is a graphic image that we are starting a new life with Jesus. And my last point on what baptism signifies. Baptism is a sign of our adoption into a new family of believers. Now, we are not born into the family of God. Even if you were born into a home with Christian parents, we are all born sons and daughters of Adam. And I said, our nature, it gives proof of this when we commit acts of sin. But when we confess our sin and repent of our ways and invite Jesus into our life, we are born again of the Spirit of God. Once we were in Adam, but now we are in Christ Jesus. God now adopts us into his family. And that's amazing. That is a wonderful, precious thought. We are not God's children by nature. None of us are God's children by nature. But now that we have declared our commitment to Jesus, he adopts us into his family, into the family of God. It is not the children of physical descent who are God's children, but those who are born again of the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. It's regeneration, it is, that we are then born into the family of God. It is. And those who are born again, God doesn't have any grandchildren, so to speak. Because it's not, Christianity is not inherited. Christian knowledge, right, and Christian instruction can be inherited and should be inherited from parents, from Christian parents. But we cannot inherit eternal life. We must be born of the Spirit. Salvation is of God. But not only are we adopted into God's family, but in a very, very practical and a very special and a very obvious way, we're also born into a new family and a community of believers. And this is true. When you become a believer, you may have drifted from some of your old friends because essentially you developed new interests. You developed a new way of life. It is. You wanted to go to church and learn more about God, whereas maybe some of your friends just didn't have this interest. And I can well remember, you know, when I first became a Christian, this is exactly what happened. Yeah, some of my old friends, it's not that we just parted company, so to speak, and said, well, that's it, we're finished. That wasn't the case at all. It was the case that what happened was that I wanted to go to church. I wanted to hear more about Jesus. I wanted to be in the company of other believers. And so what happened over time was that those friends who were just not interested said, no, it's not for me. I'm continuing to do the things that we normally did, and that's what they did. And so we found that we went separate ways. And you may find, you know, you may have a similar experience, or you may be finding that that is the experience, you know, that you are currently having. But whatever friends you may have drifted away from, so to speak, we have been more than compensated with a new family of believers because we have found others who know Jesus as well. And Christianity, basically, it's a new start in life. And baptism is a declaration to our friends that our old way of life is ended, because we have been adopted, become adopted sons and daughters of the living God. We have a new family. We have a family now of believers. We have a family that's made up of every race, every colour, every nation, every nationality. And just looking out this morning, there are people from various parts of the world, it is. And no, you know, wherever we go in the world, and I know some of you are visiting, and you know, you have found this to be your experience over recent weeks, that, you know, wherever we go in the world, we will find believers. We will find those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, who want to know Jesus and who want to worship together. And that's maybe why you were here this morning. It is. And no matter where you go in the world, you know, you may be just visiting for a short time, you may be on holidays and visiting a church, you know, it's great to find other believers. And, you know, you may not know their language and they may not know your language, but there is that common bond, there is that common unity, and you feel it, you do experience it. It is because they know Jesus in their hearts and in their life, and it's absolutely wonderful. It is. So we have something in common. It is. And that's why we feel at home in the company of believers. Why? Because we have been adopted into God's kingdom. We're no longer part of the kingdom of the world. We are adopted into the kingdom of God. We have become the sons and daughters of the living God. Baptism, it's a sign of entering into a new relationship with God. It's a sign of cleansing. It's a sign that our sins have been forgiven. It's a sign of death to our old life, our old way of living. And it's a sign of our adoption into the family of God and into the family of believers worldwide. Baptism is a sign of salvation, pointing to what has happened to us on the inside. Don't make the mistake of putting the a higher emphasis on the sacrament. The sacrament is not the real event. The real event and the most important event happened on the day that we gave our life to Jesus. And while baptism is not the real event, it's a very, very important event. It's a very, very important occasion. It's a very special day. It's a very special event in the life of a believer, because they are declaring publicly to everybody that they have decided to follow Jesus, and they want everybody to know about it, because what's happened on the inside, they want to declare to everybody else. So, whether we are, you might say, of a quiet, retiring disposition, or we are one of these people who, when they come into a room, they light up the room and, you know that they're there. Baptism is a sign to our family and friends that we have decided to follow Jesus. Amen.